Psalms chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56. If you do not have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. Go ahead and grab one of those hardback red ones if you don't have it, and go to the book of Psalms. It's dead center in the Bible as a book, just dead center. Psalm 56 and verse 8 and 9. Psalm 56, verse 8 and 9. If you found it, say amen. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and read those two verses out loud. Verse 8 and verse 9 of Psalm 56. Let's read it together, please. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. God is for me. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, it is wonderful for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you, God, for your word that it is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endureth forever. I'm thankful, Father, that your promises have never failed. Father, your presence has never left us. And God, how that your power is available. And tonight we ask you to speak. If there's one among us or even watching on the internet, Father, if they've yet to trust Christ as their Savior, may they trust him now. And Father, for us, your children, strengthen us and build us. Bring back that which is driven away and build up that which is broken. Heal it. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that phrase, God is for me. God is for me. My wife bought me a t-shirt that says, well, God loves me. With a, you know, like, God loves me. Because I hate to lose. Anybody in here just love to lose? Huh? I got four boys in my house, and no matter what game they're playing, they hate to lose. When she bakes a cake or something, they're like cutting it, making sure it's, I mean, they become real precise when it comes to cutting cake or pie that nobody gets a bigger piece of. Or if they're the first person to the table after I brought home Costco pizza and it's supposed to be, you know, cut just a certain way, but they're sure one piece is bigger than the other. So they're wanting it. They hate to lose. I hate to lose. One of the most devastating times of my life was we went to state at high school. Our little high school was a 300-person high school. We're the only high school in the county called Putnam County in Illinois. As smallest county in the state, there was only 300 kids in our school. And my freshman year, we went to the state championship of Illinois for high school basketball. Little bitty town, real David and Goliath situation. We had not lost a game. We came to the University of Illinois Fieldhouse, and we had under the big lights and the big stadium, and we were excited, man. We were going to play. We're going to give it all we got. And go for it. And every turn, it just seemed like we were hitting a wall, though, in this game. The refs were calling everything. Our star player got fouled out in the first half of the game. I mean, they were calling everything. And we just couldn't catch a break. Man, it was devastating. It was the only game we lost that entire season. But it's like you just couldn't catch a break. In the Bible, in the book of Amos, chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, it's like a man saw a lion in the field and turned and ran into a bear. Or he left the bear in the field and went home and leaned against the wall and a snake bit him. You know, you just can't catch a break. And during those times when you feel like you, and wait, am I the only person in here who feels like sometimes they just don't catch a break? Oh no. There's days when I just look up at heaven and go, there's a lot said in that statement right there. Do you ever say that? Come on! You ever done that? Oh, I drive my wife crazy because we'll be trying to do something. And Fred, out of nowhere, I'll just go, come on! Oh! She goes, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's another trip to Home Depot. Huh? This is how David felt in Psalm 56. He felt like he just wasn't catching a break. It says to the chief musician, now I had to spell this phonetically, Jonathelem Rakoam, which means the silent dove from far off places. See, when doves are in safety, they coo. They make that noise, whatever. But when they're nervous, they're silent. And David, in the book of Psalms, what had happened was, David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. Out of all of his brothers, there's eight of them, eight boys in that family, he's the youngest, and he was picked to be king. Red-haired, freckle-faced little kid. Nobody even his own dad didn't know who he had in the house. And God picked him. And from that day forward, God started to bless him. Well, Saul wouldn't do right. So Saul realized that David had the blessings of God on his life and that God was with David and not him anymore. So he started to hunt David from this place to this place to this place. And David was literally on the run with his wife, fleeing for their life. Now, to survive, what David had been doing would be sneaking over the border and raiding towns in Philistia. This is the land of the Philistines, raiding these little towns and stealing their food and killing everybody off so nobody would go back and tell the king. But what had happened was that Saul had finally cornered him to where he had no choice but to leave the country. So he left the country, went to the land of the Philistines, and Achish, the king of Gath, had given him sanctuary. Of course, Achish didn't know that David had been raiding the towns in his own country. And while he's living with Achish, David and the guys would say, we're just going to go out for a ride. We'll be back. Well, they would go out and raid another village, kill every man, woman, and child, steal their stuff, and head back to Achish's palace. And the warlords started to realize, hey, every time David and his men leave, we lose a city. I wonder if there's a connection there. And David is starting to realize time is running out for him in the Philistines' land. So he feels like a dove in the hands of an enemy. He feels like, I am here in a foreign land because I can't go home. And what I've been doing is going to catch up to me. And it's going to catch up. So look at verse number 1. He starts his psalm by pleading his case with God. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man shall swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Oh, be merciful unto me. I don't deserve it. I know it. I haven't done right. But God, be merciful unto me. I've already got so many enemies. I don't need you as my enemy, Lord. Verse number 3, he expresses his faith. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will not fear man, pain, or loss, because my trust is not in others, but my trust is in you. Do you trust the Lord? Even in those times when you look at the ceiling and go, can I catch a break, Lord? Can I catch a break? You know, I'll do good for a while, and I got the best intentions, and then my apple cart gets turned over. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, in verse 28, the Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now this week, maybe this wasn't your week, but this week I got stabbed with a needle 3 times. Assaulted by a doctor with no compassion. 3 times. Now I was agreeing to the first one. Okay, all right, let's try this out. All right, whatever. Okay. So about 20 minutes later, he comes back in the room and goes, now listen, things aren't the way we need them to be. I need to give you another shot. And I'm like, are you sure about this? I mean, and I'm thinking good thoughts this whole time. Like, come on now, Lord, you can make this happen. Lord, you're a miracle working God. Come on. And all of a sudden, it's like, he doesn't even care. He just goes, ah! I'm like, ow, man, cut it out. And he's like, no, all right, now I'm going to be back in 20 more minutes. I'm going to come back and we're going to check this out again. See, I'm saying to myself, Lord, I know this is all going to work together for my good. I know this is all going to work together for my third time. Come on. You know, things in life don't always go the way we think they should. And sometimes they're very painful. But all things do work together for our good. Yeah, thank God the third shot worked because I was walking at that point, okay? Me and him were done. But all things work together for my good. And David says, look, I know I'm in a mess. I know I've done this and I don't deserve your mercy, but I will trust in thee. Psalm 118 is the very center of the Bible. Verse 8 is the very central verse of the Bible. And it says, it is better to put your trust in the Lord than man. It's the center of the Bible. David says, you're my salvation. Verse 4 of Psalm 56. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. His promises are sure, and I know what they are. He has given them to me, and God has never lied, not one time. There has never been a time. Look, we understand how promises work among people, right? I have four sons, and they promise they're going to do their chores. And every time I'm like, oh, yes, Daddy, I'll take care of it. Oh, yes, Daddy, I'll take care of it. But then I got to go out in the backyard, and the guy in charge of picking up landmines didn't get around to picking up the landmines. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, he said, no, I promise. Tomorrow, I was going to pick it up tomorrow, Dad. I'm going to do it. I'm not in disobedience. I'm just going to do it tomorrow. You know, God's not that way with his promises. God's promises are sure. God's promises are now. God's promises are real. God's promises you can take to the bank of heaven. Sure enough, they are backed by God's glory and God's character and God's goodness and God's heart. You can take them to the bank. You know, God does everything for my good. Because God is for me. Look at that verse number 9. I love that. Verse number 9 ends with, for God is for me. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say then to these things if God be for us? Who can be against us? Have you ever, ladies, you ever received flowers? Anybody ever bring you flowers? Maybe at work or something. And as they're walking to your desk, you're like, are those for me? Are those for me? When you think of God and his promises, do you read them and go, those are for me? Those were given by someone who loves me and thought of me and gave them to me. They're mine. Oh, they're mine. So as you read through the Bible and you find that when Jesus was praying in the garden, it was for me. When Jesus was on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that was for me. That was my gift. When he prayed in agony with great drops of blood, sweat came from his brow. That was for me. In Psalm 53, it says that by his, Psalm 50, his stripes, by his stripes, 53, verse 4 and 6 says, by his stripes we are healed. That was for me. But it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? People say, well, I don't believe a loving God would send people to hell. Well, look at it from God's point of view. I loved you so much, I sent my own son to take your place on the cross. I let him take your punishment. I poured all of the sin of this world on him. And I'm offering all of the righteousness that is Jesus to you for free. I have a brother who I love dearly. To name. Anyway, one of my brothers, a great guy, and he's honest. He'd never steal from you. But he doesn't like to clean up. So you could leave your money on, you could drop your money on the floor and he'd never rob you, never steal it, but he'd never pick it up either. He'd just kind of walk on it. It's no biggie. He knows right where it's at. It's right there. You know, to him, it's no reason why I pick it up. I got some boys like that at the house too. Right? They just walk on the money and you're like, well, what are you doing? Well, they're going to go out to eat or they're going to go with some friends, they're on the floor picking up change, you know what I'm saying? Then they're motivated. But they just walk on it. And for someone to look God in the face and say, I don't need your salvation, is to walk upon the blood of Jesus Christ as an unclean thing and say, it's just garbage, I don't need that. So who sent who to hell? God split time and space. He split the world. And gave his son. See, God actually loves us more than we can wrap our head around. He loves us so much. He's for us. He's not against us. I love John 3 and verse 17. The Bible says, for God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world. He didn't do that. But that the world through him might be saved. God is for you. God really is for you. Not only did he give me salvation, he also gave me the Holy Spirit. And he gave me a church to support me. Look at verse 5. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together to hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. They shall... Man, all they want to do is trip me up. You ever have those days? When you're outside going, is everybody just against me today? Is it pick on me today? I didn't check the bulletin board today at the office. You go down to the lunchroom and there's these new notices on the bulletin board of things you're supposed to know about what's going on today. And did you not see the notice that it's pick on you day? It's got your picture, everybody. Turn on them today. You ever have those days, huh? See, that's why God gave you a church. God give you a church to encourage you, lift you up, and salve those wounds, and put an arm around you and say, it's going to be all right. We're going to go out and get them this week. We're going to win this week. Listen, it's okay. That's why God gave you the church. God gave you salvation because He loves you. He gave you the Holy Spirit to comfort you. He gave you the church to fellowship with because God is for you. God is not against you. Verse number 8, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? In Malachi 3 and verse 16, the Bible says God has a scrapbook called the Book of Remembrance. When my mother passed away, I was well into my 40s. My mom passed on, went to heaven. I went home and my older brother had been going through her things, and she had a chest of drawers in the spare room. And when he pulled out one of those drawers, it had every piece of artwork I had done since the time I was in kindergarten in it. It had that little plaster of Paris hand thing in it, and it had all the things I'd made out of paper mache and the construction paper things with a big, you know, a nasty looking heart because I never could draw right, and it said I heart mom and things like that. And mom had kept all those things because it was mine. Do you realize God keeps every tear you've ever shed in a bottle because they're precious to Him? He records every prayer you've ever uttered in His book because to Him, that scrapbook is memories, it's meaning. To Him, it's precious. Like letters from a foreign land is your prayers kept by God in His book. He's for you. God is not against you. God is for you. So don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Don't quit. God is faithful. Look what the Bible says here in verse 12. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. God's vows, that means God has made you a promise. They apply to you. And God's promises that apply to you are everlasting. They're ever present. They never are reneged upon. They will never expire. You ever do that? You get something in the mail and you're like, and yet from Kohl's or something, and you're like, hey, this is a really good coupon. You pull it off and you're looking for the expiration date. You know, you got to get in by a certain time. God's promises don't have expiration dates on them. For God's promises are everlasting and everlasting. Verse 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? God didn't save you just so He could wreck your life. He did not make you His child so He could toy with you like a bird. He did not save you. He did not make you His child so that He could make you suffer for His pleasure. He saved your soul, but He has a purpose in mind. See, the reason we love Romans 8:28 is because it says that all things are going to work together for good. But 8:29 is the reason why. Because in those struggles and in those trials, we are molded and shaped into the image of His Son. Because God's for us. I didn't like those injections I got this week, but they were for my good. I really didn't choose them. I asked if He had a pill. I asked if He had a powder. I asked if He had a potion. I asked if He had a magic chin. Anything but a needle. But I needed it, and it was good for me. God is for you. Do you remember trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? When did that happen? You were there. Did it happen? When did it happen? Number two, you're His child. Have you been baptized? Have you become a member of the church? You know, God has these things for you, like gifts, blessings, because He is for you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to pray and give you the opportunity to do business with God. We call this the invitation portion of the service. The Word of God has been preached. Opportunity for you to respond is here. Whether you're hurting from a health issue or from finances or relationship, whatever that hurt is, God is for you, and we'd like to pray with you. If you're here and if you died and you're not sure heaven's your home, salvation is yours if you want it. Our Father and our God, we love you. We ask, God, above all things, that you would be glorified in this service. Father, that you would exalt your name and perfect your will upon us. And God, you would do that which only you can do to meet the needs that are represented here today by my brothers and sisters. I ask, God, that you would do it in such a special way that your grace would abound and that people would see you mightily at work, as we sang earlier, mighty to save. Bless as only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come,
the altar's open, my brothers and sisters. Come and pray.
I confess, Steve, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay, my one defense, my right.